Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, here again with my fantastic guest co-host, Corey Chadwick. Corey, always a pleasure to sit on the podcast and chat with you.
Yes, Robin, thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be here and excited for today's guest.
Corey, before we get started, what's going on in your world? Because I know you're doing some really interesting work. And of course, I'm always chatting up your company and what you do, but maybe you could just tell us a little bit about all the exciting stuff you're doing.
Oh, yeah, thank you. So as you know, just like we have exercise for our bodies and gyms for our bodies, Lyceum is a gym for your mind. We take an entirely proactive approach to mental health and well-being. So think about mental well-being on a scale from 1 to 10. We're all somewhere on that scale. A lot of mental health resources are looking at the kind of low end of the scale and how to support that, which is obviously important, but we're looking at taking people from good to great. We're all about the good to great side of this. And actually, our guest today knows quite a bit about this work, having worked with her company and also in cohorts with leaders and high performers from other organizations. So really fantastic.
Yeah.
And the integration of authentic leadership development into what we do is so important. Helping people show up and lead the way they want to as fantastic thinkers and decision makers and just authentic leaders. And of course, the group environment we create, real, honest, safe, no judgment, just people who want to move from good to great together. And it's just a great way to work on yourself. So a lot of exciting things going on, exciting organizations, leaders. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Very cool. And I will never forget actually working through your program with our own team. So now it is always in the back of my mind about pursuing living my 10. I don't think I will ever forget that. I'll always think of you for the rest of my life when I'm pursuing that living my 10. Well, knowing Corey has been a blessing in so many ways, not only working with his team and his program has been very beneficial with us, but he is just a super connector and a super connector to really great people. And today is an example of that. Joining us is Jennifer Hall, who is the president or vice president, sorry, of human resources at Access Employment, where she's known for being a strategic business partner who leads with both empathy and impact, with experience spanning financial services, CPG, trades, not-for-profit, private equity, and startups. Jennifer brings a rare blend of adaptability and insight to every challenge. She specializes in building high-performance cultures and designing HR strategies that align directly with business goals, always with a focus on integrity, communication, and creating real everyday value for the team she supports. If you're thinking about what the future of work looks like for your organization, this episode is going to shed some clues for sure. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Robin. That's quite the glow up you just gave me. I appreciate it. And a promotion too.
It's always funny, you know, because I've been on a few podcasts too, and you hear something written about me like, oh yeah, okay, put myself on the back a little bit, right? So usually it's with the guests I'm feeling a little bit humbled because they've usually accomplished quite a bit. And I feel like I need to step up to the plate a bit. Well, Jen, I'm excited about this one because I've had conversations with you probably about a year ago. And then more recently, we connected again through Corey. And I've always enjoyed listening to what you do and what you're passionate about at work. And really where I'd like to start the episode is, for those that might be unfamiliar with Access Employment, can you talk to us about the work that you do there, how you're creating healthier, more inclusive communities?
Thank you, Robin. I really look forward to the opportunity to talk about Access Employment because I'm so proud of the work that our organization does. We are a not-for-profit in the employment services space, and we have funding from all levels of government, from corporate sponsors, and from partners like the United Way of Greater Toronto. And the work that we do is so multifaceted. You know, we really represent underserved communities. It can be socioeconomic, it can be language barriers, it could be geographic barriers. So people who are not having an easy time finding employment, we help them with licensure, accreditations, training. We have a Talk English Cafe. We have a speed mentoring program. And really what we do is we work with employer partners. We can create programs to create a talent pipeline for their organization. They can come in and volunteer as a mentor and meet people at our speed mentoring events. And we have numerous job fairs that people can come to and hire talent from as well. So it doesn't matter if they have a large need or just a very small need. They can also work with one of our job developers. We call them employer liaisons. And they can meet and be connected with a job seeker who might match one of their current vacancies. And that one is a no-cost initiative. And if it is somebody with a lot of barriers to employment, oftentimes we'll have a wage subsidy that we can make available to them as well.
That's really cool. And every conversation we have, I can tell you're super passionate about this and where you are. How did you find your way to Access Employment? Like, what's the origin story? How did this happen?
I had a great opportunity for my career prior to Access, and that was with a startup environment. It was an event technology company. It was a greenfield space for me to design and develop HR programs. And that organization was scaling up rapidly for a sale. It was owned by a private equity. Once it sold, I was looking for a new opportunity, and I had never worked in a not-for-profit environment before, and I really wanted to make a difference, and I wanted to be working with an organization that really aligned with my values, and found the opportunity at Access, and I've never regretted that decision. It is a different environment working for a not-for-profit, but everybody is so connected to our purpose and meaning. At work, we work with such wonderful people every day. We see stories of transforming lives. And I would say that all of the leaders that I work with are so engaged and bought into our vision and our mission and our values that I just love the people I work with every day.
Jen, I find that people in your role at not-for-profits, I was chatting with a lady yesterday and she was asking me to do something that I shouldn't say I wasn't crazy about doing, but I hadn't thought about doing and offering up some of my experience. And at the end, of course, I said yes to her. And I said, boy, you're really good at getting people to say yes. And her comment back was, well, when you work for a not-for-profit, that's a skill you have to develop. Has that been your experience as well?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. We are always fighting for funding. We've been growing and growing as an organization because we're so good at what we do. But in our current economic climate and I guess immigration sentiment, there has been a little bit of a drop in funding. And so we do find ourselves being faced with some setbacks and having to go after more corporate partnerships and funding that way just to sustain and grow our support that we offer our clients. And we're serving, like, I would say definitely over 50, close to 70,000 people a year. Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. Having worked with Jen's team firsthand, just echoing what she said about how passionate and driven they are and mission driven, really, it's like amazing, contagious energy. And Jen's just such a fantastic leader. So I love listening to you talk about this, Jen. Okay, I got a question for you. So HR impact is sometimes dismissed as soft. How would you measure whether your strategies are truly creating both business value and a healthier culture?
How do you measure that? That's a very hard thing to measure. There are some things that you can see with hard numbers. You can see hiring success rates. You can see retention rates. You can see your results in your employee survey. You can see overall business results and see how, because, you know, we know that culture leads to engagement, leads to results for the organization, right? So there are so many different ways of measuring it. So I think you do need to set out to be aligned with the business initiatives and imperatives. And I find that being on a leadership team and hearing about the struggles that our leaders have day in and day out and being close to them, because we build close relationships, we understand what those problem areas are. And then we can adjust and align our programs to support what is a pressing need. And there's nothing better in HR when, you know, you're not pushing uphill and fighting against the culture to implement something that you think is an HR best practice, but you're providing a solution that they see as like the burning platform, right? So they have a problem and you're like, I have a solution for that.
Yeah.
then there's engagement and support. And that's when you have a really good program that leads to great results.
Nice. And how does that reflect in the healthier culture side of it when you're trying to balance both sides?
That's a great question, Corey. Thinking about it for a second. Well, the buy-in that you have with different leaders really translates to the culture because they're behind the different initiatives that HR would have. And having the leaders support and see the value of it always makes it more successful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can see like at our organization, we have all of our leaders so bought into building the culture. It's not just an HR initiative, right? All of our leaders are trying to do the right thing and engage staff, and they support a very caring environment in our organization. So I do see it reflected in our employee survey, for example. Our strongest category is about alignment with our vision and values. And the next one is our leadership team, that they believe in and support our leadership team. And then the third one is about our diversity, equity, and inclusion, because we have so many initiatives along those lines that I can see that it has like a huge ripple effect in our culture and in the buy-in from our staff, our team members. And yeah, it's represented in the scores that we achieve. I don't know. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, it's great. I love it. Yeah. I love it. I'm sure we all know HR leaders who aren't getting the buy-in from some of their leaders that they want, and how difficult that is in creating the culture that they know is so important, that they so badly want to create. And it's just, they feel like they're running uphill with weights on a lot of the time trying to get there. And so the way you're describing the culture and the leadership is, it's refreshing and it's great to hear.
It is. And I imagine, because I was thinking about other organizations, you know, private firms that we deal with, and I know it's a challenge of a lot of HR leaders that HR is coming in and try to create a certain culture within the organization. They're not getting buy-in either from the founder or the CEO. But something that you said early on, I think, would make it a little bit different from your firm. And the reason why you ended up where you are is it aligns with your values. Mm-hmm. I would think anyone working for your organization would have to align with those values. Otherwise, they're not going to enjoy where they are, and they're probably not going to last very long with where you are, Jen. So I'm glad you brought that up because I think that's really important. I've told the story on this podcast a few times, and if I could go back in time in my little time machine that I built, I would go back to, you know, grade two or three, when little Robin was hiding in the corner just with his head down so the teacher wouldn't pick on me. I just didn't want to be seen at that time. And if I could go back in time, I would have raised my hand. Jen, are you someone when things scare you? Because when things scared me, I just hid, and I changed later in life. Thank goodness for that. But I wish it had happened earlier. Are you someone who's going to hide, or are you going to put your hand up?
If I think back to little Jen, she was very scared and definitely hiding. I would say that when I was a kid, I was just so fearful. And there was some experience that hit me, I think, in my early 20s when my life was not going very, very well. And I was working in a call center and I hated my job. Yeah, I was working full time, putting myself through university and really hating every day, sometimes crying in the washroom because I hated it that much. Mm-hmm. I went to a training program and it was delivered by our VP of operations and an external company. And it was about taking accountability and getting out of a victim mindset. It made such a huge impact on me. And I remember her facilitating this program and thinking, you know what? Maybe I could do what she does. If she's doing this and maybe I could do it too. That thing, I don't know, it just sparked something in me and I just started putting my hand up for everything. Mm. And now I would say that I'm fairly fearless about just trying something. You know, there are things that I'm good at and things I'm not so good at. And I do try to ask for support in the areas, like maybe some very detailed things that are not really my cup of tea. But I do put my hand up a lot and it's helped me grow tremendously.
Do you remember? And because I don't remember, so I won't put you on the spot. But there was a point in my life where I started putting my hand up. And now, like, I know I'm not good at everything, but I'll always try. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll always try. I won't shy away from things like I used to. Yeah. For you, do you remember when that was and when you started saying, like, yes, I am going to start putting my hand up
for
things? Because I'm curious, Jen, where I'd like to go with this is, you know, how has that shaped the leader that you become today?
I know exactly the moment. Mm. I remember I was working at an organization. I was on a one-year mat leave and I designed something. I'm trying to think of what it was, whether it was like our budget or whether it was like a vision. It was probably our vision statement. I was designing some work around that and wasn't going so well with somebody I was reporting to. And I was scared. to present it. I was just scared of it being shot down. And somebody I worked with asked me about it, and I shared it with him, and he said, this is great work. And he took it forward, and he made it happen. And I was just devastated. That was my work. Mm-hmm. And he got all the glory, and I got nothing out of it. And I saw it, you know, it was able to come to fruition, which was great. So that role ended shortly after that, and I moved on to my next role. And I remember just being really driven to take ownership and see it through. So it was like a turning point for me. And I know I got some like very small assignments from my director at the time. And I remember putting a lot of work into it. You know, I was asked to design a promo card, and I went and I got pitch ideas. I did a PowerPoint presentation, and he was like, wow, Jen. And so then he was just giving me more and more things, and we just really built trust. And then he gave me a huge program to lead, which was like such a crowning achievement for me and led to me becoming a director in the next company and a VP at my current company. And it all kind of started from there.
You reminded me of, and again, I don't know why on this particular episode, we're talking about when we were little kids, right? We're going back and remembering, but everyone can relate. We're just bigger kids these days, right? But I remember when that person took your work and took all the glory from it, Jen. I remember doing a project and someone, it was written in pencil, Robin Bailey, this was my little project. And someone came along and erased my name and put his name on it. And eventually he got found out, right? But I just thought, boy, people don't stop doing those things just because we become adults, right? That's still happening out there. I love that story. And I love that you can relate with me being that scared little kid at some point and somewhere along the way, you know, and that's why I say to people when they're young in their journey, like, don't be upset if someone isn't, you know, as far along as this person is in their career, because everyone has that journey that they're going to, if you've got good people on board, they are going to blossom at the right time, I always say, right? So, and for me, I think a late bloomer, but better late than never, as they say.
Yeah, we all have that. I love that too, that relatable story of there's that little version of me.
Yeah.
And that little version of you maybe isn't so little after a while, right? But then you do get to a point, hopefully, where that fear that you're holding on to, whatever it is, but that fear gets overcome by that version of yourself that you really want to be, that you want that more. And so it overcomes the fear. And Robin, you mentioned living your 10, right? It's that 10 version of you. You're describing it. Jen's describing it. That version of you is the one who starts putting up your hand. And that's the one that grows and then becomes the VP in this scenario, or, you know, Robin, the amazing life you're living in all of it.
Or this amazing podcaster, right? Oh,
this amazing podcaster. Yeah, exactly, right? But like, that's when it starts. You raise your hand and you believe in yourself and you do something different. And then, like you both said, like once that clicked, it was a different story. And I love that. That's so relatable. We all have that. We all probably have some little kids in us who still need that jump start, right? This makes me think here about silencing the ego, right? Showing up with humility. Because that's what you're describing there. Jen, and I've heard you talk about this before too. How has that mindset shaped your leadership style? And how did it help you build trust and attract great mentors?
That's a great question, Corey. Thank you. I think I come to my work with a very humble approach because I know I don't have all the answers. And I'm learning along the way and getting better by other people. I think my attitude of wanting to take things on and having like a can-do attitude, like I can make this work, I'm going to make this happen. It's helped me so much. You know, people have invested in me because of that attitude, because I'm willing to do the work and show up when I can be counted on and dependable. So they've been giving me trust, giving me opportunity, helping shape me along the way. And then I think we're all better at the end with the result when, you know, everybody wants to be on a winning team. Mm-hmm. And I think it attracts people, it attracts great people to want to work on that team, right? So I think, you know, with my work ethic, I think I have a very, very strong work ethic. I'm willing to do the work and invest the time with other people because I'm giving back from some of the great mentors that I've had a chance to work with. And I think it attracts a lot of engagement from the people who work with me. So I feel super lucky to work with some great people. And I feel like we all kind of will go to the end of the earth for each other.
How great is that?
Yeah.
Attracting the great mentors, paying it forward, creating that environment. I remember a mentor of this told me, everybody wants to matter and be a part of something that matters.
Yeah.
And that's what you're describing, right? Mattering and being a part of something that matters. And then having this entire team and organization row in the same direction.
Absolutely.
Jen, I love that you also spoke about attracting great people. Mm-hmm. And I did a post on this most recently. You might have seen it on LinkedIn. And it was just talking about the great connections that you make. And I'm sitting at home randomly on a, I don't know what night it was, Wednesday or Thursday. And I get a text, you know, you hear that notification. So you're like, what's this late, you know, 8:30. For me, that's late, by the way, 8:30 on a Wednesday. I'm getting ready for bed. And there is a big beaming smile of Corey and our other friend, Joshua Siegel. And they had seen each other in an event and they took time to say, hey, we're going to send a picture to Robin just to say hi. And I did a post on it the next day because it just made my day. And it's funny with this podcast, and people have heard me talk about it. There hasn't been a guest on this podcast that I haven't genuinely been interested to talk to. If I'm not interested, you're not going to appear on the podcast because it's mine and I'm going to do what I want. But it's such a nice feeling to be able to create these wonderful friendships and relationships with people because I've been very purposeful about it. And then when I meet people like Corey, of course, he's introducing me to people like yourself as well. So you're so right about, I think if you're doing great work and you're on a great mission and you're passionate about what you believe in, you're going to attract other similar positive people into your network. Having said all that, because I'm talking about me and this isn't about me, it's about you. I would love to hear a little more about that work ethic that you talked about. Where does that come from? Was that instilled from parents or did you develop that along the way? Like, where does that come from?
I don't know what to tell you other than the truth. And it's not a great story. I had a horrible manager. I started working when I was 14 and I had lots of different jobs. I worked, you know, full-time through university and did university part-time. So I just had so much work experience. One of them was working at a movie theater and I was what they called the concessionaire. And it was back in the old days in Cineplex Odeon where we had like a pink blouse and a purple apron and a gray, whatever, tunic. It's horrible. And we didn't have cash registers and we had to do all the math in our heads. And everything was in quarters. So if you added the popcorn, it was $4.25 and the drink was $2.25 and everything was, you know, math in your head. And at the end of the night, we had to count all the cups and bags and balance. And if we were within $5 of being short or over, we would get screamed at. And then at the end of the night, and we weren't getting paid anymore, by the way, you know, 15 minutes after the movie went in, we still had to clean everything, count everything in balance. And the manager used to come downstairs and put on a white glove and run his finger along the counter and the popper. And if there was a spot of grease, we would get yelled at. And he said to us, you're going to thank me one day because you're all going to have a great work ethic. And this trauma of being yelled at by my manager
has carried on with you all these years.
It's a great story.
It is the truth. I don't know what else to tell you. It's not a good story for the purpose of your podcast, but maybe funny one.
Yeah, but you know what? It is a great story. And I think everyone can relate. We all had these jobs that we, hate's a strong word, wasn't ideal. And we all had those jobs. For me, it was always motivating to, you know, I knew, okay, I had to go to university to get this and get in here. And then it led to where I am now. So to me, those crappy jobs that we all had was really so motivating. But I will say, I had some great jobs too that maybe I didn't feel so great about at the time. But I remember one in particular. I worked at McDonald's. And one of the sayings at McDonald's was, if you had time to lean, you had time to clean.
Oh, yeah.
And that has stuck with me because you were not sticking around just because you had a bunch of Big Macs going. You were wiping things down. And that has stuck with me. And like you, Jen, I was 12 years old when I got my first job. I got my Sunday Sun paper route. I was actually 11. Yeah. I was actually 11. You had to be 12.
You've been outed.
But as Tony Robbins would call it, I use my personal power. Yes, I use my personal power, Corey, which means I lied. And I was 12. But Corey, I had motivation at the time because my parents at the time, new immigrants to Canada, didn't have a lot of money. I wanted certain clothes that they could not afford. And they said, if you wanted this, you were going to get a job. So there I went. And that's where my work ethic came from. So I enjoyed your story a lot better because I can picture that white glove coming down.
Yeah. Well, on your point about that, if you have time to lean, you have time to clean. My next job was at the video store and the new owner who just purchased the video store came in to do a little site visit. I didn't know who this person was. I was there alone. It was early in the morning and I was cleaning the place. And he saw me just taking that initiative and doing that. And when he took over, he made me the manager of the store at 18.
Oh.
So there we go. Yeah, the work ethic paid off. So.
There we go. So it did pay off. Yeah. Can we talk about, because we brought it up a little bit, and I think it would be important to talk about a little bit further, mentorship.
Yeah.
And I know you're very passionate about this, Jen. Can you talk about the importance of mentorship when you're building high performance teams, the impact that you've seen?
Absolutely. So I didn't name some of my mentors, and I've had some great ones. And I'm sorry I didn't expand on this when Corey asked me the question. Currently, I have one, Yara Demasino. She is my manager right now, and she's just somebody who leads, who has the ability to build a great connection, buy-in, and engagement from people. So she's got this way of getting collaboration and just communicating deeply in a caring way, respectful way with people to get that support across the organization. So she's a fantastic mentor to me. And previous to that, with Bill Brown, FMAV, and he was the president and CEO. I was lucky enough to report directly to him. And he was awarded for mentorship with the American Marketing Association. They have a mentor exchange program. And I was lucky enough to be his direct report. And he taught me about communication, getting buy-in as well, about presentations and building HR strategy. So he worked very closely with me to ensure I was very successful as a brand new director working for his team. And paying it forward is extremely important to me. So I started off when I was with my two companies ago. I was at Reliance Home Comfort, and I designed a leadership development program there that included a mentoring program with an executive team member. And they had a goal of building a pipeline to a leadership role. They were having a talent shortage. And I created a way of building a general manager in 2 to 3 years with this rotation program. We went out to universities, hired high potential business grads and put them into a rotation, assigned them a mentor, had a really robust onboarding program. And at the end of their 6-month rotation, they had to do a pitch to the leadership team and talk about their successes, their challenges, and give one business idea in terms of a process improvement. And that was really, really effective. And I actually just went on their website to see if it's still around, and it is. And some of the people I hired way back then, over 10 years ago, are still in that program. So I'm so happy. And I've just launched a mentoring program where I work right now. And I have 2 mentees myself who are very fascinated about learning about HR. And I'm very happy to be giving that back to them. Hopefully I can do some justice to the great mentors who served me before.
Okay, so I have so many questions because I was telling that story at the beginning of the podcast, and I have to admit I have a little bit of imposter syndrome. The president of the Benefits Alliance Group, which I'm a member of, her name is Caroline Egan, and she phones me up and she says, "We're starting this new program for younger people coming into the employee benefit space. We would love for you to be a mentor." And my first reaction is, "What am I going to teach anybody?" And they're like, "No, of course, right? Like, you're doing all these things. You should." So I said yes, because she's very good at, you just have to say yes to Caroline. Jen, if I'm going to be a mentor for the first time, can you give me some advice about things that I should be looking to give back to? Because I don't even know who that person is yet. They're going to do a little matching, so I don't know who it is. But I'm actually kind of looking forward to it now that I've committed in there. So I'd love any advice you could share.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, Corey can give great advice. He helps us come up with these great coaching questions. In Lyceum, we spend a lot of time coming up with, or he provides us with great coaching questions. I did prepare our mentors with some resources to help them become really effective mentors. One of them was about, you know, what's the difference between being a teacher and a mentor? And a mentor is so many things, whether they're a guide or a cheerleader or a coach or a sponsor, somebody who really promotes that person and gives them more exposure. So there's so many roles of a mentor. So looking into what each of those ones are and what you can do for those individuals. Mentoring also can go both ways. So you can actually get something from your mentees in addition to challenging their ways of thinking and getting them to expand their horizons and be open to learning new things. You can also benefit as a mentor by, you know, reverse mentoring, right? So those are some things that you can get out of the program. And I just mentored my 2 mentees this morning, and it was our 2nd meeting. And I remember having imposter syndrome too. I came up with the program. I've done it before. And I was thinking, oh gosh, I hope I can help them in some way. And, you know, they just seemed so happy. Part of it is just really investing the time to show that you care about people and listening to their problems and helping them explore and then sharing some of your insights. You don't realize maybe, though, it'll make the world of difference to them.
That's really solid advice. And as soon as you said Corey has some good questions around that, I'm like, yeah, I bet he does. I bet he does. So we'll talk offline about that. This has been, sorry if I'm letting the cat out of the bag, but we batch record these podcasts. This is the last one of the day today. This has been incredibly enjoyable. It's not over yet, so don't worry, we're not wrapping it up. But it is my favorite part of the episode. And usually my business partner, Alan, co-host, asks this question, but we're leaving it to Corey because Corey has turned out to be such a great host. This is his second episode. I know he's going to be back for more because Al doesn't mind taking a little bit of a break because Al is incredibly busy these days with his practice. And Corey has just stepped up the plate so well. But Corey, I would love if you would take our signature question away because Jen's been answering it all the way through, but I think, you know, maybe she has a different answer. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Again, big shoes to fill with Al not being here, right? But I appreciate the opportunity to try my best here. So I love this question. I've heard so many great answers to this. And you're right, Jen, you really have been speaking to this throughout the episode today. But there is a saying that old people plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. When you think about your work supporting marginalized communities, mentoring future leaders, and building inclusive teams, what proverbial trees are you planting?
It is such a wonderful question, and it's such a great thing to contemplate, you know, for all of us in our career to be contemplating that as we get to kind of, you know, being seen as more of an expert and not kind of at the beginning of your career, but getting to that part where you can now be giving back to other people. I think one of the key things is to remember that you started out with somebody giving you a chance. We didn't all start knowing what we know now. And somebody believed in us and gave us that opportunity to learn and grow and invested some time in us and helped us through our mistakes. And sometimes, you know, not recently, but sometimes I've worked with some leaders who are like, no, I need to hire somebody who they can walk in and know the job. My perspective on that is that person might get bored really quickly. And sometimes the best person that you can hire for the job is that person who's so eager to learn that one thing. Maybe they have 60% of the job or 80% of the job down, but there's like still 20% that they have yet to learn. If you have the time and patience to give to coaching and grooming somebody, you'll get so much in terms of loyalty and just appreciation. That person's learning and growth means so much to them. And I think that's something that's really fantastic that we can give. So it's really that generosity that we can have with our time. And I think paying it forward, you know, if somebody has mentored you and coached you and helped you grow, that's something we can definitely give back.
Love that, Jen. It's so human the way you describe it. And I believe that's such an important part of mentorship. It's just being human. And like you said, believing in somebody and showing them that you believe in them and bringing them along. I expect nothing less from you than such an insightful response to that question, but amazing.
Yeah, and you know what, Corey? I'm actually more excited after this conversation about becoming a mentor now.
Yeah.
In realizing that I can give back to someone else. And even if I don't think there's anything there, but there probably is, as we've had some experience in our lives that hopefully we can share. And Jen, I loved what you said about that's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. There's likely things that we're going to learn from each other, so it's going to benefit both of us. So I'm so glad you talked about that.
Drop the imposter syndrome. You're going to be great at that.
We'll come back and we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll do a podcast episode about it. Jen, this has been an incredible conversation, as was our last conversation. We didn't record that one, but I look forward to future conversations. You're what I call good people, and I am not surprised at all that Corey picked you to bring on the podcast with us. So it's been a real pleasure. If people want to find out more about Access Employment or the work that you're doing specifically, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Absolutely. They should go to accessemployment.ca and they can learn all about the wonderful programs and impact that Access is having. And for me, if you go on Google and you just search for HR Jennifer Hall, you'll find me there or LinkedIn.
Perfect. Well, that does it for today's episode. I think you can tell Corey and I really loved this conversation. If you have any questions for us, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. We saw it here again. Success leaves clues. We'll see you next time, my friends.